on Wednesday of the first week of Lent, we come to the Jonah Mass. That's not its official name. That's just a kind of nickname for this Mass, and it's obvious why it's called that, because the first reading is from the book of Jonah, and the Gospel mentions Jonah, or the sign of Jonah. I don't know how old the Jonah Mass is. Maybe this is just as a result of the changes in the liturgical calendar that happened after the Council, or maybe it goes back centuries. I really don't know. You know, the Lenten liturgy has grown in the Church for many, many centuries, and some selection of some readings goes way, way back. For example, on Sunday, on the first Sunday of Lent, we always read about the temptation of Jesus in the desert, and that did not start after the Council. That goes way back. Same with the second Sunday. We always go up the mountain of the Transfiguration. So those are ancient traditions. Later in Lent, the tradition is always to read the story of the raising of Lazarus. So, but here, the Jonah Mass, and it doesn't really matter how old it is, because the Anuim approach is to be present before the presence in the now. It's not a matter of what God said in generations past, but what is God saying to us, to the Church, and to me right now? So this is a chance for us to reflect on the sign of Jonah. Let's start with the Gospel, because this is what gives the story of Jonah a special emphasis. Jesus is speaking to a large crowd, and he sharply rebukes them for being an evil generation. Now, we don't have to think about why they were an evil generation. This is a word to us now. We're the evil generation. I'm the evil one here. Why? Because we seek a sign. We're looking for some proof. We're looking for God to do something according to our will. That's backwards. Our seeking should be, what is God's will? Now, it's sometimes true that we can seek a sign in order to know the will of God. There's nothing wrong with that. But to seek a sign in order for God to submit to our will, that's a disorder. That's evil. So Jesus says, the only sign that will be given is the sign of Jonah. What's the sign of Jonah? It actually has two dimensions or two aspects. You could say one aspect of the Jonah story applies to the early part of Lent, and one applies to the later part of Lent. Because the first aspect of the sign of Jonah is the call to repentance. That's the one that stands out in these readings. Call to repentance. In fact, instead of calling it the Jonah Mass, you could call it the Repentance Mass. But that wouldn't mean anything to us, because every Mass is a repentance Mass. Every Mass begins with an act of contrition. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. That's a repentance Mass. So, okay. But that's one aspect of the sign of Jonah. The other aspect of the sign of Jonah, which actually comes from earlier in his story, but applies to the later part of Lent, and that is death and resurrection. Jonah is a sign of resurrection after 3 days. He was in the belly of the whale, and after 3 days, he came back to life. Okay. But here we're focused on repentance. And the message is, well, something of a kick in the backside. It's like a push. It's as if to say, look, when Jonah preached repentance, the Ninevites repented. And what about you? What about us? We have someone greater than Jonah here. Lent is already a full week over. I mean, last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, so we've been at this a week already. How long does it take to get started? What do we have to do to repent? What does God have to do to get us to repent? That's the sort of message that the liturgy gives us today. Don't put off repentance anymore. Don't drag your feet. Don't assume you can do it later. No, now is the day. Now, when it comes to repentance, it's also important to remember that repentance is both something for right now and a journey, like conversion. Conversion is now. Say yes now. Follow the Lord now. Leave sin behind now. But it's also tomorrow and the next and the next day. And there's a process of conversion. There's a process of repentance. We reflected last Saturday on the call of Levi, the tax collector. Jesus said, follow me. He got up and followed. Okay, that's right. But it's not as if he never sinned again. It's not as if he overcame with one decision all his weaknesses, bad habits, bad relationships, and bad ways of thinking. No, that took years. In fact, he kept on that journey for the rest of his life. So he was on the journey of conversion. Lent is like this, right? Lent is, on Ash Wednesday, a call to repentance. We're supposed to have repented last Wednesday. And we did, I hope we did. But then Lent is also a 40-day journey. So even if we repented yesterday, even if we repent today, we're still on the journey because, as we know by now, after 1 week, we haven't changed. It's not that easy to change. Even if we are sincere in our repentance, our nature is slow to change. So we have to keep up the journey. It's a 40-day journey. It's a 40-year journey. Well, Jesus emphasizes that we have something much greater than Jonah here. We don't have just Jonah's preaching for one day. In fact, Jonah only says 8 words. If you look at the first reading, he says 8 words. That's it. He doesn't, the city, it says, takes 3 days to pass through. He only goes 1 day. And the impact of his call to conversion is immediate and overwhelming. It affects everybody. And Jesus says, you have someone greater than Jonah here. So if you think Jonah had an amazing impact on the Ninevites, what kind of impact should Jesus have on us? And we don't just have 1 day. This is the 8th day already. And we've had the counsel to pray and fast and give alms. We've had the example of Levi, the tax collector. Yesterday we learned the Our Father. On Sunday we were reminded of the battle against Satan and against temptation. And we've already been given a lot of very good instruction for Lent. So we have no excuse to drag our feet or to not get up and start again. Even if we started well on Ash Wednesday or on the first Sunday, start again. With a renewed commitment to follow the Lord. That's repentance. That's conversion. The Ninevites, looking again at the first reading, they weren't sure if God would change his mind. They didn't have the confidence in God's mercy that we have or we should have. The king says, who knows? God may relent and forgive. And of course he does, because God is waiting for us to repent. He's waiting for us to follow him. He's not intent on our destruction, which was why Jonah was so disappointed. He's intent on our salvation. And that's what makes the journey of Lent and the journey of conversion a positive one. Yes, we're repenting. We're acknowledging that we're an evil generation and that we're sinners, but we're also acknowledging God's mercy is greater than our sin. And so we get up again and follow the Lord.